This episode of Super Pulp Science is brought to you by ChasingArtwork.com, where I have just reopened my online store with a whole bunch of new exclusive artwork, as well as canvases and original art and brand new stuff that you haven't seen before. So check it out at ChasingArtwork.com and also follow me at ChasingArtwork.Instagram.
Attention, citizens, it's time for Super Pulp Science.
This is Super Pulp Science, where we talk about how genre gets made. I am Gregory Kamichek. I am here with our producer, Dan Vadeboncur, and my long-suffering co-host, Justin Curry, known the world over as Chasing Artwork. And Dan is doing a podcast miracle. He's recording and drinking a glass of water at the same time. No, you didn't like that, Dan. He's not even responding.
It's kind of a visual, joke, don't you think? It's a visual thing.
I guess it is, right? Like a ventriloquist. They drink water and then...
Yeah, but they have to be talking. Right? So I'm like, hey.
Well, I spoiled that joke. As I've spoiled many things in this past week, as many things have been spoiled for me. But I'm glad to have you guys here on the show. We're all in our respective corners as we ride out the last vestiges, we hope, of a strange time. But we've all been busy. Justin and I were the guests, Dan. I have to tell you, we cheated on you. We were the guests of another podcast recently.
This is actually my third podcast this week.
You just record all over town, don't you, Justin?
I was on a Gundam podcast earlier this week, which went on for like 3 hours. It was quite extensive.
I saw you post about that, and I was it was on Twitch. Discord,
yes, it was on Twitch. Yeah, they record on Twitch, and I believe it's going to be up on YouTube as soon as I know exactly. Like I'm not familiar with how they launch everything and post it. So once I figure out where it goes first, I'll put it up on my social media and whatnot. But it was, I felt like an old man having to learn how to use Discord to get in and talk with them. It was a whole thing of me making an account and then not being able to find the right thing and them trying to talk me through it. Felt so old.
Well, you're old now, Justin. You are old now. Yes. I had to figure out Discord way at the beginning of lockdown because Roll D20, which was like a D&D website platform that our game group was using, did not have a very robust video ability. And so we would open the tabletop version on Roll D20 and then I had to use Discord. And I found the name appropriate because it's quite discordant. I didn't find it worked all that well most of the time. How was your experience with it?
Once everything was hooked in, I think they did all the heavy lifting. Once I was able to get in the room with them, it seemed to work well. Yeah, I feel like it's probably really good for specific things. So depending on what you're doing, it might be perfect, but I don't know. I don't have, other than that, I have no other reason to keep going back to it. So I'll probably stay away unless I have to go back.
It's very popular with gamers. Experience. Yeah. And our friends over at Special Reserve Games have built an entire community of people there. Just a huge group of people all connected on Discord. And it's not just chat. It's also the typing kind of like talking and that kind of stuff. It's all kinds of different ways. They've done a great job with it. They've used Discord to kind of market their whole business. It's really cool.
That's interesting. I've heard from a few people that it's really good in that way. In a way that Reddit communities kind of are good also, that Discord is kind of a little bit, it's like a Reddit community that has more police.
Yeah. And and I think that the difficulty that you're having, Justin, I think that's normal. And I think that's the barrier. They like platforms that have a barrier. You have to be this smart to figure this out, or this young to figure this out, rather. Maybe that's a better way of putting it.
And wow, the sun dimmed there. It was so shady for a second.
So then that's, I think that's a big part of it. Same thing with like Snapchat and TikTok and all these apps that are very intuitive for young people to use, but we kind of look at them and go, eh? So there's that.
Okay. So this is a good subject to ask about, like, social media platforms and you, like, let's, like, from the perspective of an artist, let's say, way back in the day, I remember the big one being, was it Elfinwood, was like the really early post your artwork social media community, right? And then DeviantArt became a big one. And then from there, people started going to, then Instagram kind of came in, and then Facebook Tumblr. Pages.
Tumblr
and, Tumblr. Tumblr was a big one until they got rid of their porn and then everybody left, right?
Yeah, yeah. And, if that happens to Instagram, it'll be the same thing. If they are like, wait a minute.
Right? ArtStation, Behance, you know, like, okay, so you as an artist, Greg, what does it take for you to make an account on a social media platform? Like, why did you join Instagram back in the day? As an example.
Yeah, okay. This is like an origami question. Like, it looks like a bird, but if we unfold it, there's a lot more reasons. Mm-hmm. So I originally made an Instagram account because I wanted to get into the daily practice of recording what I was working on. And I had been blogging a little bit, but I found blogging to be hard to do on the fly. Like, it'd be something you collect your notes, you collect your pictures, and you know, you'd get back at the end of the day or the end of the week and you'd have to assemble it all. And Instagram became, to me, a way to transition out of a regular weekly blog and into a daily sort of demarcation of good things that were going on, which is really what I like to do with it. So it became that. And then
it was almost like,
because
go
ahead.
I was just gonna like comment, it was almost like, you know, fast food versus like preparing a whole meal yourself. Instagram seemed like it was not a lot of stress and you could easily post stuff, and blogs, you really had to take your time and make something with, it took effort.
And yes, Instagram
seemed
meals.
To be a lot easier.
That's a good example. Snacks and meals. Yeah. So the other thing too, is I was also a classroom teacher at that time. And so it became really easy and useful to share process of students. We had, back in those early Wild West days of hashtags, our high school had a hashtag that we'd use for certain classes in certain departments. And so teachers were updating, classroom content on there also. And so I was using it for that and basically trying to demonstrate at that time, positive, appropriate uses of social media by adults as a high school teacher, to show that not everything on the internet has to be a swear, a meme, a picture of boobs in order to participate. And so we as a staff had also decided that we would try to set some positive examples. So it was all of the things. And then I also had this secret other life of like doing shows and doing art and doing books. And so it also became a way where I could show kind of a full side of what I was doing without having that problem of like turn the school into a marketplace. We're not really allowed to like talk or advertise your stuff when you're a teacher. Nor should you, but this became a way of me showing process. So kids would say like, oh, well, I saw last night you were working hard on something. It turns out that working hard over time yields results, kind of like what you were saying in class, you know, like these. So as I say, it looks like a bird, but as I unfolded, there was a lot of reasons why I got involved, because I actually find most social media to just be time wasting. And so trying to demonstrate a way that it doesn't just waste your time.
Of course, it doesn't pay much, but, well, at least it's a start.
So do you often think about the next social media platform that you might, are you on the lookout? Do you kind of have your ear to the ground? Do you have, you know, like if something new came along, what would it take for you to join that?
I've thought about this a lot because I've almost joined a bunch of things. And then what it really comes down to is I don't want to give all of my data to a corporation who will benefit from it for nothing. And I just feel like that's a line in the sand that more of us should draw. Right.
But as an artist, don't you feel that responsibility and like you have a bunch of artwork that you need to promote and grow your audience and, you know, gain attention for, you know, when you produce books and new work, you want lots of people to see it. And those platforms are the best way for you to do that in a lot of cases, especially now, you know,
I think they are very effective. I do not think they are the best way to do it. Right? It's very effective to advertise on social media. You can get lots of people to see your work. It's very effective to build a large following on, say, Imgur or on, say, you know, Instagram or Facebook or wherever it is that you are, you know, us oldies name those and all the youngies who are listening know all kinds of different ones. It's effective. I don't think it's the best. I don't think it ultimately yields positive or good behavior. If you are spending more than an hour on social media a day, then every week it's an incomplete work day, a complete earning cycle that you've given up to social media. A complete work that you've got 8 hours that you've given up to just consume other people's media. And I think that even if you're just doing an hour a day, that's too much. But most people, especially during the pandemic, have been doing between 3 and like 7 hours a day on social media. So like just extrapolate that as wasted, distracted, micro attention time. I don't think ultimately it's good. Is it effective? Yes. Is it a good way to do it? No. And that is a paradox for me because I'm trying to be a good example to my own children at the same time that I'm trying to earn enough money to feed those same children. Right? So yeah, this for me is the paradox.
How else can you get millions of people to see your artwork when you can't travel around, you know, to meet them in person? Or, you know, like what other venues are available for up and coming artists, if not social media?
Yeah, completely. I completely hear you. And you are right. Like if you're on social media and you're using it, and it's working, and you personally, Justin.
Well, I'm being devil's advocate because I agree with you that it's not the healthiest, but I also don't know, you know, with the solution, what's option B?
I was talking to a few people about this. The social media site that will bring me and make me its champion is the one that shares revenues with its users. One that says,
and like Twitch does that, right? Like once you become popular enough, you become a partner kind of thing.
It shouldn't
like
be that. There should be no threshold. If you're sharing your personal data, that company is going to make hundreds of millions of dollars. So they should share with their user base. That's what would bring me. That's what would turn me from a naysayer and doom lighter of social media to a champion of it. Say, yeah, we're all sharing our data and they're learning about us and we're benefiting from it, which changes my behavior, which then changes their data. And then they see that actually putting positive influence into the users changed their lives for the better. And then they adjust their data and advertising to respond to that corollary. And what you would have suddenly is media that switches from you need this, to you need this, you want this, you're not good enough without it, to, oh, here are ways to be productive, interested, supportive, loving, right? That's what would happen if they started sharing data with people who were benefiting from a site instead of all competing for information. That creaking sound was my soapbox. So that's what it would take for me to turn into a champion of one. Now, I won't dare trumpet that I'm some kind of like purist because I am on social media. I mean, I've posted it during pandemic. I looked at some stats that were fed back to me by my own like monitoring systems. I've posted less than 10% of what I normally would post in a year on social media.
But don't you think that's tied into your activity in real life? Like, that's because you weren't going to cons. You weren't, because on social media, you're often saying, hey, I'm going to be in this city and that kind of thing. You're speaking more to the people who follow you.
True, but I used to also share more of my process, and I found myself holding back. Like, I've worked on 5 books over the course of the pandemic, and only people have only seen, you know, tiny amounts mm-hmm. of those things. I'm less, and it's not because I don't want regular people to see that. You know, our podcast, for example, collects nobody's data, but whoever is hosting this podcast does, right? I mean, the server, the company that's listening to that. Right?
Spotify.
Spotify is collecting your data for sure. Yeah. So, I mean, I'm not squeaky clean. And we've just got involved in printing a preview edition, a playtest edition of a book through Amazon, which someone can definitely argue is got a bullet pointed at the heart of publishing. So, you know, I'm not above my foibles. I sometimes will do things that help me directly, for sure. Like save $5,000 on a short print run and instead print 20 copies through print on demand.
And see, if you were on top of social media and posted about this upcoming book along the way, like along the process, not only on like Instagram, but a couple of different like social media platforms, when it came, like when it was ready to, for people to buy it, like, don't you feel like you could have 10 times the amount of eyes on it than you do right now? Yeah.
So yeah. But hold on, let's do some math here. Yeah, let's say I spend an hour a week on social media promoting something. Let's call that 8 hours. Let's call that a work day per week.
So,
right.
How many times you're following, right? Would you get if you spent that 8 hours? Yeah.
Right. And now let's look at this. 8 hours times 52 weeks. So that's 52 days of labor, right?
To cultivate your brand.
But look at it another way. I could take 52 days of labor and make a complete graphic novel and then spend $1,000 and make sure that 10 times as number of people see who would have seen it over those 52 days of labor. Because social media already exists. So if I spend the money, which I have, and not the time, which I don't, then I will be, the net benefit to me is far greater. Right? We're planning an aggressive advertising strategy for a couple of different projects that are finishing now, where we're not looking at the way books advertise. I mean, you and I have talked about this a bunch of times, Justin, where we're not going to advertise the way books advertise, which is like 0.1% of the production budget goes into advertising. So like if you spend $20,000 producing a book, you might spend $500 trying to promote it. Like, it's ridiculous what publishers do. And try to match the advertising budget with the production budget. So if it costs $40,000 to make the whole project, then we spend $40,000 promoting it. And see what the
result. So that, like, that evil blob of corporations who want that personal data, you're cutting them a check directly rather than feeding them slowly by using social media and giving them the information.
No, listen.
What do you think that information is used for, Greg?
Been saving it for you since I got your letter.
No, step back. Money is stored labor. So if I pay them money, my stored labor, I am returned those 52 days of labor, right? And over those 52 days in the year, 52 full days of labor, stretch that out now, an hour a week, which is actually 365 days where people are engaging with me. If I have even a 1,000 people engage with me over 365 days, that's 365,000 impressions of people's data that the company is benefiting from. if I instead simply paid to advertise to those same users ad, like in a newspaper.
I don't know that you're still at the end. You need that advertise that like
completely.
It seems to me. Yeah. Completely. Like
it's the point of the bottleneck. But for me, like where my, where I feel, you know, like for example, if you don't believe in, you know, giant corporations running media, then you probably shouldn't buy a newspaper either. Right. But the truth is you can buy advertising in a newspaper and it's all owned by like, you know, a couple dozen different families across the planet directly benefit from those things. The same is true of all systems. All I'm saying is that if I buy an ad, then I am not exposing 360,000 hours of other people's data in the claim that they're getting something from me. I'm actually being honest. I want you to buy my book. Here's an ad for my book. As opposed
but
to
who
this
are you?
Sideways. No, but hold on. As opposed to this sideways ad, this, oh, I'm including you in my life. I'm including you in myself. I'm including you in a piece of the process. If you're only doing it so that they'll buy your book, aren't you being then far more dishonest by including them in something along the way that they actually.
That's a tough point of view to have being an artist on the internet these days.
Oh, I know. It's hard. I'm not saying, and this is me not telling anyone what to do. This is me describing the constituent struggles that are going on in my head and in my work practice over the past 12 months.
I would say, just to put forth an opposing view for a second, I would argue that the impressions that you gain through the long way of doing it, like the hard way through the 52 weeks of the year, whatever, the impressions you gain there, even though they might be the same as the ones you pay for, are probably more valuable because they're actual. I don't know. I just find that, especially on social media, a lot of people ignore the advertising, and you're really not going to get that connection with people. I'm only like 50% a believer in Facebook ads and in social media ads. I like part of my brain is like, where is that?
I think what you're both talking about, which I will absolutely concede the point. You're 100, both of you, I agree with you 100%. There's more loyalty in the other version. People are more loyal. Yeah. Well, value.
Well, more. Value
that's
of,
a very, well, not, you that's need not an important. Operational definition of value before you can make that claim, right? We don't all agree what value is, so it's not a useful term in this discussion. But time is not relative, right? Time is measurable. And so that's what I'm saying. I'm saying that that time in social media is worth more for me to create books than it is in creating posts about a book that I'm making. I'd rather make an extra book a year than post about the book I'm working on all year.
I don't think it's, hopefully it's not quite that bad.
Well,
that you're on social media, the amount of time that it would take to make a book. That's
in a year.
Good Lord. If it's
guaranteed, it is guaranteed. Add it up, man. Let's look at your phone. Take out your phone's data right now. Let's look at that iPhone over the week and extrapolate that over a year and tell me that you couldn't make a book in those many hours.
I can't draw more than I'm drawing in a single day. It wouldn't be healthy either.
But how many followers would Justin lose if he did not post on social media for a year?
Absolutely true. It's a devil's bargain. This is what I'm saying. It's like, I don't have an answer to people. Oh my God. No, I only have questions and concerns.
Damn it. We need answers.
Right? I don't have answers. I only have questions and concerns. I wish I had.
I think we are. We're moving towards a world where somebody's going to have to step in and make some laws about this kind of stuff because it's the Wild West.
Everybody's
moving towards that.
That stuff. The governments of the world are well aware. Mark Zuckerberg has had to stand in hearings all over the world at this point. So yeah, they'll figure it out.
Right. And so it comes
we've talked about this. Sorry, go ahead.
We're so Canadian. No, you go first.
Remember, it was, I think, a year or two ago now, there was a huge movement on Facebook, or it was Instagram, where every artist was jumping ship to go to some new platform that didn't steal their data.
What was it called? Oh, I remember that.
Velo, Vimo, yeah. Vel, it had a V in it.
Yeah. Verve, something. And it lasted like, yeah.
Because it couldn't handle the influx. Right?
Yeah.
It was a, right. It could not handle that many users all at once.
Yeah.
Right? It's a problem with all new social media platforms. There's another one people were posting about just recently was supposed to be great for artists. And I looked into it, and when I tried to download the app, it was like, no, due to server volume, we can't even let you download this to your phone.
Because the other universal truth that I've noticed with like trying to get views of my art on different sites, the longer you've been there, the more you've put into the community, the more you get back, right? Like if you've been, every time you put a new piece of art on a site, if you've been doing it for years versus the same amount of posts in a couple of weeks, right? Like the longer you've been here, the more you get. So I'm always, I'm wondering if I'm missing out. Like, is there a new thing that I should be on? Like, creating a new account and getting on the ground floor, because this is going to be the next thing that all the artists go to.
Well, if I had to guess, and this is just me pontificating, not as a user, but what I hear my kids talk about, what I see them engage with, what I see younger people, I'm ancient, I'm in my 40s now. And the answer is yes. And it's probably to do with Twitch and Discord and a few other things that you get to through Reddit. There are communities, but you really only, there's a difference between fame and function. And I think that people have to remember there's a difference between those two things. There are a lot of Instagram famous artists who cannot pay their rent. They have millions of followers and they cannot pay their rent from that. And so I only have thousands of followers and I do pay my rent from my art. So, or my mortgage in this case, right? So you have to figure out what functions best. For me, my whole, like the life plan that I have and that my wife and I have together that we work on requires those 50, that hour a day times 8 hours a week, I'm giving you Sunday off, times 52 weeks a year, those 52 days, I need those to do other things, right? They're either family related or they're work related. But when I invest that time, not in trying to get other people's attention in a microscopic way, but I actually pay attention to something in a sustained way, I always end up with a greater return. Every hour that Will and I have spent developing these toy prototypes for this other company has paid better than any amount of posting about my book will yield on my Instagram. So when I take those 2 hours and I say, like, the cost benefit ratio to me as a person supporting a family, what is of use, right? Could I get more famous posting more often? Undoubtedly. Would it have a higher function to my family? No. So to me, it's of no value. And this is what I'm saying. Like, what's of value is difficult for people to find an operational definition for, because we don't all agree, right?
Yeah, you keep talking about it like it's a trade-off, though, and I don't see it. It's part of our business, and I think it's becoming a more and more important part of our business.
At a certain point in your life, you will either have kids or you won't. And if you have kids, you won't even consider it being part of your business. It's not worth the trade.
Well, you don't have to give up kids to post your art on the internet, Gregory. I'm just saying it. I think it should be. It's a part of any artist. But if you're a digital artist selling your art on the internet, it's part of it.
It takes more than intellect to be a musician. Put your soul into it a little.
This all falls under the lovely word of marketing, and it is a matter of whether or not you want to pay for someone to do it or do it yourself. It is necessary. We agree on that. And it's Gregory's just saying he'd rather pay someone else to do that part of it. Right? Is that what you're saying, Gregory?
Right.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, is that I can pay somebody. I can earn from those 52 hours I'm not posting, right? Or those 52 days, pardon me, that I'm not posting. I can earn enough to pay someone else to advertise and have a living wage.
Here's a way you can have best of both worlds. Instead of giving that money directly to Facebook or Google or whoever, find someone who will post on your behalf, get someone to run your social media for you, and pay them to do it.
See, why the distaste there, Justin? I find that
what's wrong with that?
Because, okay, here's why. Because I ran a Kickstarter campaign, and for a month, all I got were emails and messages of people wanting to do exactly that.
That's not what I'm talking about. That's okay. Go ahead. I know because I did that too. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. It's just like
I want to unpack this distaste you have, because the like that that you made was the same that I felt in my heart about all those posts on social media. So what I see we have in common is a place where some action in a trade of commerce for time we find distasteful. So let's unpack that. I think that's useful for the dear listener. And they're also used to us agreeing on this podcast about most points, even though we don't always, right? Yeah. So this is actually a good conversation to put on record, that sometimes you got to come at things from a different perspective.
I think it's very, very tough to find I think I was exposed to just an ocean of insincere companies that just prey on up and coming artists and companies that make these super vague, like, oh, we will expand your reach and target demographic and, you know, like all the buzzwords, that's what we do. And then you start like hearing, like there was one company that reached out and they'd done their research. So they, you know, they popped in some things that they had found out about me on my website. And then they sent me a Zoom screenshot of like them talking about me, but it was like a Photoshop, like mock-up. So, so I looked up this company and found out what they did is like they essentially kind of take over your Kickstarter and help run it for you, but they also take them, like they receive the money and then pay you out at the end. And so this company or this little corporation, this like little artist who was like trying to do whatever, you know, thought that they took way more than they deserved and left him with nothing. And to some degree, it just seems like that's I don't think a marketing team is ever going to be able to put in the heart and the dedication to marketing you better than you. And so to kind of like just like load that off on somebody and hope they do a great job, that feels not lazy, but insincere as an artist who's part of their job is to promote yourself. And I think we're in a day and age where you should be good at it or learn how to do it and not, you know, hope somebody comes along and does it for you.
Yeah, I agree with that as a sentiment. I think where we are agreeing, we're like, you know, imagine we're like two travelers from distant lands, and in the distance we see a mountain and you're on like the far east and I'm in the far west. We can see the same mountain, and that mountain is this phrase that you just said. They take more than they're worth. That's how I've been feeling about social media. It takes more than it's worth from me, the way I ascribe value to my hours in the day in my life. So every hour I spend on social media right now, literally because my kids are at home with me, is an hour I'm not with my children. So it's even more pronounced. If they were at school or if they were away 8 hours a day, then you would be like, well, that's just an hour I'm not doing some other bullshit in the house. But because it's literally with my own children, this whole year has been 12 months under the microscope of like, right? Every minute of my attention that's not focused on something of value is actually being pulled away. It's not, as you said, they take more than they're worth from me right now. Whereas perhaps in the way you're structuring your workflow, and we've talked about this before, but really briefly, I'll just describe you from the outside. Here's a person who's dedicated to his work. And as you're working, you kind of create a mental finish line. You can correct me if you think I'm mischaracterizing you, but a mental finish line. And one of those finish lines is, I'm going to now be brave and show the finished piece to thousands of people as my way of saying it's done. And your social media is the end of that finish line. It actually is, for you, a really positive motivator. I've watched it from the outside. You're motivated by that. Sort of push the boat off from shore and see where it goes. And I find that cycle in the studio environment to be very healthy for your mental health, right? Like I watch you push away and you're like, have this great sigh and you're like, yeah, okay, it's all posted. It's all out there. I wonder if anyone will like it, right? And you don't get so caught up in whether or not they do or don't, because for you, I mean, it's literally the name of your brand. You're chasing the next piece of artwork. You've already started the new piece of artwork before anyone has commented on the old one. You're not, that's not why you do it, at least from my perspective. I don't see the two motivations being so tied up the same way I do. Whereas for me, because I work on long projects and I kind of pack the clay in and I'm not quite ready to share it yet. And I have to like wonder every day, which part can I share, what I'm allowed to share, which part is actually going to be in the book or not in the book. It's a much bigger mental exercise for me to decide where that line is of like finished or not finished and releasing to the world. And our two workflows, I think, have created two different ecosystems of how social media perceives us. And your workflow has this added benefit feed is almost disingenuous, but it feeds that monster, but not because you're trying to, but just because you're done. So you might as well show it to people.
Yeah. It's the finish line is usually that once it's I save it out for print, I save it out for the web, and then I collect my screenshots of all the process. And so then, yeah, it's I have this, you know, open up a couple tabs of like, I posted here, 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 and here, and then I send it to, I put it in my print file for later, and then I throw it in my art book file to put in my art book as well. So I have this like a little ritual at the end, and it's part of that. It's, yeah, finishing a piece, doing that little ritual is part of the process for me. Right.
And I think important to point out, you're opening yourself up regularly and often to criticism, and you do so almost every day without fear. And that is also really a great, I think that's a strong element to anybody's mental health. Like to you, social media, I don't think is the weak point in the cycle, because to you, it's a motivating tool. And when it works well, that's amazing. That's when sharing on social media is great. That's the social part, right? That's not I have no issue with that or like how you work on anything. It's just that I can't work that way. I can only work my way, and my way, social media always takes instead of gives, is how it feels.
What's the matter with everyone? Why don't they answer me?
And I think, you know, this is a salient conversational point for anybody who's thinking about that capital M marketing job, career, or point of view, is that nobody is going to agree on why they need someone to market them. Right? Marketers will all tell you why you need them, but you should know why you need them, right? What I need from a marketer is someone who is going to buy me back time to spend with my children. That's what I need from a marketer, right? Someone else might say, I need a marketer to make sure that 10,000 people have heard of me before my book comes out, right? And you can be very specific with those things, right? And social media is this like sideways marketing. See, imagine, Justin, imagine the number of posts that you have had, and the dear listener, I'm not exaggerating, hundreds, maybe even thousands over the course of your career, Justin, that have gone viral. So 20, 30, 40, 50, 100,000 people that then get exposed to each of those. Imagine a lifetime of those where you shared in the data that was collected, in the revenue of the data that was collected. You would not need to hustle for anything. You could just make work because it would pay for itself 1,000 times over if those companies shared that revenue with you.
See, yeah, if I go too far down that rabbit hole, then, you know, basically everything in the world has a shitty side to that. I don't care what you're participating in. If you look at it at the right angle, it's somebody's getting screwed somewhere along the line. And so, you know, it's all doom and gloom. If you want to look at it that way, then, you know, it's going to be, I don't like dwelling on that. It's just kind of a part of the internet right now, and it
my
sucks,
favorite
but,
thing about what you're saying is Dan's face. His grin right now is earphone to earphone, and I want to know why.
Well, I want to say this. I think that unfortunately, you know, the internet has these predatory aspects to it in all areas, and I think that's what you experienced when you ran the Kickstarter and get all that spam. These are predatory people who are out to, like, they're targeting the artist who doesn't know any better and who has not done, did not do the work that you did into Kickstarter and figure it all out, and someone who just wants it to do them for. There's always going to be somebody offering a service to do it better, right? The question is, will they or not? And the question is, how will they get there? And that's kind of what's questionable about those ones. But I will say that if you can find somebody who you like, this would be like you would interview them like in a job and hire one person to post on your behalf, like someone who you could just hand all those screenshots off to and say, here you go, I'm done. You go ahead and figure out where to put it. And then you could just move on. That kind of stuff is available. I think you could find someone certainly a number of my students would love to get that kind of work when they graduate. And post to social media on their behalf, on other people's behalf. They love doing that kind of stuff.
Now, here's a side of that. So, like, for example, I would be remiss for not pointing out that SM Biko was that person for us, not on social media, but she was a person that came to the studio and helped us organize all that stuff. But she was so smart and so capable and so ambitious in her own right that it's not sustainable for her to stay and build our dreams when she has dreams of her own to build and has gone off to build them. Right. And so the reason why she was at the studio with us is because I implicitly trusted her to be in that space. Right. I implicitly trusted her. I still trust. And Sam, if you're listening, we love you and we miss you.
Come back to the podcast. I want to talk. She would be a great person to bring in on this topic.
Right.
She's done a lot of work on social media, so she knows
so much for so many people. And in a much bigger way than she ever has worked for in the capacity we could bring her on. Yeah, we'll try to get her on. But so the point I'm making is that she was such a good person that having her around, knowing the intimate details of our lives so that she could help craft good plans and good posts and good things, that's fine. Social media daily posts require someone that is going to be in daily communication with you. If it's going to be authentic, like Justin is talking about. And I don't trust people that easily.
All right. Let me ask you this. Do you think if you were doing what you were doing now in the early 90s, pre-social media, pre the option for you to be your own marketing team, do you think it was a better time for artists like us, or do you think it was a lot more difficult to find that marketing team to put you out there, right? Like what was
'90s, early 90s?
Early 90s, like before, what was there even MySpace in the early, when it was MySpace?
I guess it was just starting up somewhere around then. Yeah.
Right.
I would say the internet as we know it did not exist till the early 2000s. As far as like the with social media and that kind of stuff, that started in the early 2000s.
Yeah, the ability to weaponize attention didn't happen until the early 2000s.
And boy, was it awful back then. Remember pop-ups? Those awful pop-up ads that would come on? It was horrible.
Flash intros. I miss Flash intros.
Ah, you made a bunch, didn't you? No, I think it's just different. You know, there's a, it's foolish to pine for a bygone era because nostalgia is poisonous. And so you want to be careful. You want to be careful with that. So no, I don't think it would be any different. I would just have a different set of distrust, right?
I think there's a lot of artists who are making their living now that would never have had a chance back before because of being able to, you know, accumulate that internet fame. And I like looking at it that way. We have more and better options now as artists than ever before.
Yeah, I give you that. By sheer percentages, the number of people making a living making just art, is much higher. Absolutely true. The number of, okay, you want to get dark for a second? The number of, self-harm and suicide rates related to social media, is it worth the trade, right? So that's, and again, that's a genie that's never going back in the bottle. So it really doesn't even matter what you think about that answer. These are the kinds of things that have been going through my head. It's like, what are the ways in which I am best served, right? Right now, I'm best served spending time teaching and supporting my own children who are at the right age where they don't resent it, right? 10 and 12, they're just curious enough about the wide world and learning about how to be their own people, but they still need your support and help and guidance. And I have it to give right now in this moment of time. And so I'm trying to treat that as a treasure, right? And I'm not trying to waste that treasure on anything but that. And then the other place I'm best served is writing and telling stories. And so I've been working tirelessly to make enormous amounts of pages and stories and things. You know, we haven't been in the studio together, so you haven't seen everything I've been working on into the wee hours, and I haven't been sharing it on social media, so not many people know. But when I'm done, let's imagine a world where now I have more products that I can advertise on social media, or if I wanted to engage with social media, now that link tree points to a whole bunch more stuff than it used to. So I think this idea between there's that tipping point between fame and function. Would it be great to have 150,000 followers on Instagram? I don't think so. I don't think it'd be great. I think it might be useful, but it wouldn't be great. My friend Sylvia Monera Garcia was just talking about this, how she went from having a couple 100 to 1,000 followers on Instagram to having 20,000 people because her book hit the New York Times bestseller, and how she had to change how she interacts with social media as a result of the feedback that she receives, the judgments, the weaponized comments, the anger, the hate, and the vitriol that spills her way, just for existing as a woman who writes books. Right. So it's a different scenario.
Profane, sacrilege. What are you playing in this church?
Okay, so now this does circle back to what I was saying about cheating on Dan. We buried the lead. We started with cheating on Dan with another podcast, right? And so one of the things that you and I have been talking about where we definitely see eye to eye are what are some ways to generate passive income with work you've already made that is useful and positive. And one of those ways that we have talked about is with a smaller publisher in Winnipeg here called Mythos & Ink. And they do a print-on-demand facet of their business that is going to take one of our books and put it in markets that we currently don't reach. And one of the ways we're going to support that is by doing some seminars and some teaching and, like, you know, podcast interviews and really talking about the process of making things in a not a 2-second Instagram post that people scroll by and either double tap or don't, but people who are more engaged in the creative process of making, right? Real makers will have to tune in and in that way have a more legitimate conversation. I would rather have conversations than transmissions personally. So that's why I'm like sort of keen to be involved there and in that stuff. And, you know, you mentioned earlier, Dan, Discord and the communities that sort of spring up around that. That also, those things intrigue me, because it seems like there's actual discourse where people talk about, they stay on topic. I think that's the real thing, is that I want to have a conversation with people and stay on topic. If I'm going to talk about a time travel murder investigation from Infinitum, I don't want to talk about my general politics or whether or not I believe in this, that, or the other thing, or whether I'm a liberal or a Republican. Actually, I'm those conversations online, which I find myself having, and it just eats time in a way that I don't like. Whereas you have a much healthier way of doing it, Justin. You're just like, hey, look at this amazing piece of artwork I made. I'm busy.
I don't think I've ever had a political conversation online. That, yeah, sounds like a terrible, terrible thing to do.
Right. And so it's also, it depends, you know, mileage may vary. Like, you're having a positive experience, so keep doing it. Right. Like, I think that's another takeaway here, is that it ain't broke for you, so why fix it?
Yeah. And I'm excited for these, like, these, the workshops and things we're going to do. And I'm excited that, yeah, we're going to be able to share these on social media and hopefully get some attention from that, and then get to do some more. Is, yeah, how I, well, like to look,
absolutely,
at it.
Yeah. True. Yeah. And yeah. I'm in awe of people like yourself and like other people I follow on social media who just so effortlessly engage with the masses and like large numbers of people so casually. I'm not built that way, I think. And that's fine. Like, I think that's the other thing. You know, I also can't run a 8-minute mile, but I don't worry about that. Right. Although by the time you're done, you probably can run an 8-minute mile, can't you, Justin?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Yeah, man, we got heavy there for a minute. Do you feel,
yeah,
it? It was heavy. Yeah, it was heavy. It was heavy there. And I think that's a good part. Introspection is a necessary part of a person's creative process, is to ask themselves not only what they do, but why they do it and what's of value. You know, ask me in a few years from now when my kids are teenagers and they don't want any, they'd have nothing to do with me. Right? Like, I was that kid. When I was a teenager, I probably spent maybe 60 minutes a week with my family. Right? Like, it was just the barest minimum of interaction that I could manage is what I tried to manage with my family on my way out the door some other place. So if I have that in store for me too, right, then I'll have lots of time to do all kinds of stuff. We can argue on social media all day long when that time comes. Right? That's, I look forward to those days. But right now it's just, it's a different thing for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, fair enough.
Now, I will say this, that part of that too is brought on by not being at the studio, which I miss. Like, there's a part of me that I know. I would see you post. I would see you engage with social media in these short sips and then disengage with it. And that's, I often use that as a cue myself to be like, oh, okay, yeah, I'll post something now too. And I'll try to be done by the time Justin's done, and then we'll go back to working.
Right. But I think to the conventions, getting exposed to what different artists are up to, we don't have that anymore. We don't see in person what, you know, our buddy from Toronto has been chipping away at and seeing in person. The only way to really keep up with that is through social media. So I think it's also filling in the need for me to keep tabs on fellow artists and try to keep up with them, right? Like, if I see if I see friends kind of upping their game, all that does is kind of stoke my fire to up my game as well. And yeah, that used to usually happen in person, and now it's just been happening more and more online, just as a a function of the world today.
Dan pointed something out too about my own social media usage. If I was getting on an airplane, waiting in an airport, in a car on the way somewhere, in a lobby, waiting to speak somewhere, whatever, that's when I would often try to leverage that quote unquote wasted time into something that felt productive. And so I'd post on social media. And since all that's closed down, there's no need for that. So I think that's definitely.
What I was going to say is I think that this is actually a good topic to come back to in about a year and see where we're at. And I would also be very curious to see or to get your insight in, as to what your social media looks like during a con, like during any level of con. But I would like to see how that, because I've experienced kind of running social media for a convention and how that kind of spikes up and gets more people talking and spreads around. So I'd be interested in getting your perspective about that as well.
How many
followers do you get from a con or something like that kind of stuff?
Right. In an episode where I've said something and then you cut back to this episode where I had been seen so firmly entrenched in my high mind absolute bullshit. And then you can quote, attack me with my own
soundboard. I'll make a soundboard. How about that? I'll take samples from this.
Now we're talking. And now that would be an episode where you can be like, yeah, Greg, well, you used to think this, stupid. And then you can push the button. And I think that's okay, right? I think that's okay. Because if you're just stuck, right? What's the point of being alive if you're just going to say the same thing over and over again? You might as well be a soundboard, right? Oh my gosh. Well.
Presented with new facts and change your opinions. The adult thing to do.
That's what you should do. Right? Scientific method, baby. Yeah. Mm-hmm. This has been Super Pulp Science, where I thought we were going to talk about something completely different than this, but the conversation actually evolved into such a useful place for my own mental health that we just went with it. So thanks for tuning in. This is Gregory Kamichuk encouraging you all to join the fight and make comics.